The Steve Cochran Show continues. Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. 720.
Right. WGN.
One of the world's worst bad guys was caught this weekend, thanks in no small part to CPD narcotics, DEA agents, and more. And Joe Ways joins us. Joe is the executive director of the Chicago Crime Commission. A cop, you know, once a cop, Joe, always a cop, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. Yep.
Yeah. How are you, by the way? Nice talking to you.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Glad you got the new gig going there.
Yeah, well, I hope you listen once in a while.
Yes.
All right, good. I don't want to rough you up. all right, so here's the deal. You know, public enemy number one was Al Capone, and you've got to do some really bad things to be cited as public enemy number one. This was your guy, wasn't it?
This was actually a year and a week ago from the day of his capture. He was announced by the Crime Commission to be the second public enemy number one. Never since Al Capone was that term used on anybody. And that shows the level of violence and the seriousness of the crimes and the contribution that he was making to the crime situation in the Chicago area.
So when it comes to the drug trade in Chicago, what is the Sinaloa cartel? Is this the deal? Is this the guy?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. There's, you know, the intelligence that our law enforcement agencies in the area, both federal, state, and local, all contributed to showing that the drugs that were winding up in the Chicago area were as a direct result of Guzman's organization.
Joe, when you talk about somebody who is as notorious as Capone to get the number one ranking as public enemy number one, explain the intricacies of the organization. I mean, specifically, like, it would go from Mexico to certain states to, you know, hundreds of streets in Chicago.
Yes. You know, the organization that he ran was, as noted by Forbes, you know, he's one of the wealthiest individuals on the face of the earth. And his organization was set up much like any Fortune 500 company with, you know, supply chains and distribution chains and, you know, sending out the product and receiving payment in return. And all those factors in operating a legitimate business were being applied to his illegitimate business. And they were making the drugs work their way through a variety of ways into the Chicago area. Chicago has always been, you know, you look at the railroad maps, and Chicago is like the hub, and all these spokes go out from Chicago. Well, that's what they were using Chicago for as their transshipment point. Look at all the and all the trucking way stations that are along the roads leading into Chicago, and all the storage areas where, you know, what's the old saying? You hide in plain sight. Well, you put a tractor trailer full of cocaine or heroin in the middle of a shipping yard, who's to notice?
Yeah, it's a needle in a haystack.
Absolutely.
Now there was a great story in the New York Times a couple of years ago, and we're going to see if we can get the writer on this week to talk about it as well. Long, long piece about the Sinaloa cartel and about Guzman. And the meth trade in particular is one thing that jumped out because this will give you an extent of the business. When you start a new product, maybe you give the product away for free. So the way the Sinaloa cartel insinuated meth into the Midwest through Chicago was they packed it in shipments of weed and heroin. Like, you buy enough weed and heroin, you get a bunch of meth for free.
And that's what they were doing recently with the heroin. They were heavily involved in the cocaine distribution, obviously. And that started getting whatever fall out of favor with users. So they would include a kilo or two of heroin in your normal order, so to speak, and they eventually got over to producing more heroin than cocaine because of the, again, back to the business model, heroin is much more profitable than cocaine is.
Chicago Crime Commission's Joe Ways, Executive Director. You go to chicagocrimecommission.org and support what the Crime Commission does, because we all need the work you do. I want to ask you specifically about the capture, because I thought it was interesting, as much as we know at this point, but you can lend some expertise on it and what it may mean symbolically. Stand by for that. More with Joe Ways in a second from the Chicago Crime Commission. First, Mary with the traffic on 720 WGN.
Inbound side of the Edens 32, outbound 30. The outbound Kennedy and accident past Fullerton, right center lane block. 32 to the Edens, 52 to the airport. 40 heading in from O'Hare, 20 from the Edens. On the Eisenhower, 1 hour and 5 minutes in from 53 already. 48 from Mannheim, 32 heading out to Mannheim. Stevenson's 52 from the Tri-State, 30 heading out. Inbound Ryan's 20 from 95th. Bishop Ford delays from 103rd. 57 in pretty good shape. I-90 is as well. A-88, though, eastbound route 31 to 59 building. Near North Avenue, 294 northbound, watch for a car fire. And 53 southbound is slow, ran to Palatine. Elgin O'Hare heavy from right, Lakeshore Drive from Lawrence to Diversey. WGN forecast today, sunny and cold, 21 for the high. Tonight, light snow possible late, 11. Cloudy, cold tomorrow, high of 20. It's 12 at O'Hare, Midway 14, Lakefront 15. I'm Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Talking with Joe Ways, Executive Director of the Chicago Crime Commission. So El Chapo Guzman is in custody because he was traced to Mazatlan, where it was believed he'd been for quite some time. And Joe, it looks like this was sort of it was described earlier, kind of a Sun City upscale condo complex. And he didn't have a whole cache of security guys around him. And he was taken without incident. Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did. In a way, you would always expect someone like that to have their small cadre of bodyguards surrounding him. Whether or not there were any of them taken into custody, you know, reports that are coming out were that there were several people that were arrested along with him. So maybe they were the security guards, but the Mexican Marines and DEA did an excellent job of getting in there and capturing somebody who's one report I saw says that he was sleeping with an AK-47 in the bed next to him.
Oh.
But making an entry so quick and so precise that they were able to get there without a shot even being fired.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of reminiscent of the bin Laden capture with the minimal amount of damage that was done, unless you're bin Laden's head, and he had it coming. So does it mean anything that he went quietly? Because I've seen some reports, and these could be people with an agenda who say he hasn't been running the cartel, that he's the old man in the operation. He's not the day-to-day guy. Do we put any stock in that?
I don't know. I think, you know, again, going back to running a business, maybe he was not on site, so to speak, 24/7, but he certainly had the influence of the day-to-day operations of that entire organization.
How come, you know, there's got to be a tremendous amount of physical space taken up by the drugs that Sinaloa sends in here? And by that, I don't just mean trains and trucks, but warehouses. This is not an insulting question. I'm asking because I'm curious. Why don't we know where those warehouses are?
There's hundreds, if not thousands, of them in just the Chicago area that, you know, it's normal operations for, you know, your neighbor who's running a similar type of a business. You see a tractor trailer pull up and start offloading cartons, so you don't think anything of it. Or unloading skids full of shrink wrapped items, you don't think anything about it. You know, they don't take a kilo out and hold it up and say, hey, this is what I'm taking in here. and they just,
welcome to the pot house.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then they secrete them in various ways. They have different compartments, different ways that they build false fronts. And, you know, there's no state secrets here. You know, you got a 53-foot tractor trailer in the last three that are up towards where the driver are sealed off, and they hide stuff in there. They drop the ceiling down, you know, 6 to 8 inches and put a layer of, you know, keys up there. It's, you know, there's just The imagination is what limits them on where they can secrete stuff.
Yeah, it makes sense. No, it does make sense.
Joe, when he's extradited, he'll go to New York first to face charges there. I know seven states, including, obviously, Illinois and Chicago, want him. What are the chances that he will ever be in a federal courtroom in Chicago, and how long would that take? Years, I'm assuming?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if that's a done deal as of yet. I heard one report over the weekend early on that New York wanted him. There's also indictments out for him in El Paso and Miami. You know, there's a variety of ways that that can be done. They can consolidate all of the cases into one federal judicial district. So I think it's undetermined at this point in time where he's eventually going to wind up.
The Mexican government did a good job of coordinating a capture here, but there's a lot of people in the DEA, and mostly ex-DEA, are concerned that he won't be held for long, and because there's plenty of corruption involved, that maybe he ends up a free man soon under the guise of another escape. Do you share that concern, or is the show of force in going and getting him maybe a new day for Mexico?
It's certainly promising that they are going to address this problem seriously. But then again, he was in jail in the 90s, and he you sneak out in a laundry cart. That's stuff that movies are made out of.
Right.
So you can only hope that he is tried and, if convicted, put into a jail down there. The best case scenario, obviously, from our viewpoint, would be for him to be extradited and stand trial here in the States.
Joe, great information as always, and congratulations on the good work you guys continue to do at ChicagoCrimeCommission.org. Check the website out, support it as you can, ChicagoCrimeCommission.org. Have a great day.
Thanks, Dave. You too.
See ya. It's what a tough cop sounds like. That's a guy that's chased bad guys for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
Did the FBI for years, local copper from Philly. I like the Philly accent. Did you catch the Philly accent in there a little bit? Yeah. 7:55. So Guzman, El Chapo Guzman, in custody for now. Let's hope for the best, and let's get him extradited as soon as possible. I'll make you a promise. We'll broadcast live from the trial. Right in the courtroom.
I don't think they'd allow cameras and microphones in the courtroom.
No?
I don't think so.
Hmm. Seemed like a good idea.
In that case. I bet that would be a great precedent-setting case to do it.
All right, so we'll stay here in the Allstate Showcase studio and tell you about it on 720 WGN.